Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and right now it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate it. By the way, wanted to congratulate Jaime T underscore 23. They won the Cavenders gift card and they got a felt hat with it.
Oh, cool.
So there you go. Congratulations. It pays to Tolo, is all I'm saying. Sometimes
Absolutely.
You can win Cowboys tickets that you might love.
Here's the thing I'm very conflicted about, because you could potentially win Cowboys swag and Cowboys tickets.
Heck yeah.
Off of Hewlin in Fort Worth at Buffalo Wild Wings on Friday. But part of me wants to tell people not to show up because they all clap for Mike Likes It, and it just crushes my soul even more.
Mike, your thoughts? Show up more?
I don't know what to do about my popularity.
Yeah. him, by the way. For
Definitely Jaime. Spittle thinks that too.
Yeah. I think that, Mike, you know, like you just show up and do your job, you know,
yeah.
And whether or not the people show up and clap for you is not really you don't even ask them to.
I'm just generating the vibes, man. I'm just all about the vibes.
Oh my God.
I can't help it if it's good vibrations it's time for Mike Likes It.
Yeah. If he was to be the person who gave a rating for all the vibes,
what
would he be called, Kevin?
Rate it. Stop it if you don't like it.
I'm not. I know what you're saying.
And they tend me.
I'm not going to do that.
Mike.
Yeah.
Do not answer this question because he won't think it through.
Re-ask.
Do not. That's fine, but don't answer this question. I'm serious.
If you were the person in charge of rating the vibes, what would your title be?
You shut up, Mike.
A vibe
rating. No.
I'm rating.
Stop it.
He told you not to answer.
Yeah, the thing is, you don't want to give that rating a B.
Get it? I'm sorry.
I have nothing left to contribute. Look, hopefully we'll do Fan Phenom again soon. You'll find somebody to take my spot. Maybe it'll just be Alec who takes my spot instead.
I didn't even think of that, man. Those two words together
almost get you in trouble.
All right. Let's get serious here, because we're going to try and fix the Cowboys together.
Oh, yeah. Good luck.
We are going to do our version of it, all right? And I think that's important, because no matter what we say, the Cowboys aren't going to listen to us. Kevin, I sent over the piece last night, or the shot of, and Alec had a really good conversation about this last night, of the way the Cowboys looked at the Mingo trade.
Yes.
And they look at it as, I think that the word is, they had a third round grade on Mingo. So, hey man, we had a third round. We got him for a fourth.
Or
that's
maybe
even
a
better.
Second. Yeah.
Yeah. So he got taken in the second. I know that. And so they look at it and think, hey, we got a second round pick for a fourth round and we still have years on the contract. So we're paying less.
Yeah.
I don't know if I completely agree with the philosophy when the player hasn't done a lot in the league. But if you think that you can do better with that player, that's a different philosophy. And that's, you do have to stick to your philosophy, right? You have to stick to what you believe in and follow through with those plans. You set the plan, follow through with it. It just hasn't worked out for the Cowboys completely. And that's been the thing that's been the frustrating part, is why are those plans not working? But that is an interesting take on what teams are doing around the league in trading for cheaper players, using future assets to trade for something they liked in the past. But I was kind of looking at the identity of this team, because the identity was CeeDee and Dak.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Like
once Dan Quinn left, the pass rush was no longer the identity. I felt like the last few years, hasn't that been the identity, is pass rush?
That is fair.
So I started kind of ranking some of the best teams and what I feel their identities are. And I wanted to ask you guys if y'all, who y'all think, which teams fit into these categories.
Okay.
They just win.
Chiefs. I feel like the Ravens to a certain extent.
That's what I was thinking about. Baltimore.
Okay. I guess
if I'm going to put Baltimore there, I will put San Francisco in that category.
I get that.
Okay.
But ultimately, win it all, the Chiefs.
I think that, and you might find some of these other ones, you might go, oh, I'd actually feel like that team belongs there.
I gotcha.
I have the Chiefs and the Bills whenever it comes to identity. I think the Bills just figure out ways to win right now. Their opponents are different, and they find ways to beat them offensively, but they've also had really good defensive efforts as well.
True.
They run the damn ball.
The Ravens. That's the Ravens.
That's what
that's
I put.
That's for sure.
That's
Ravens.
What I put the Ravens in as well.
It feels like the Titans for some reason in my brain, but it's like I'm watching them play.
Okay.
I mean,
you know, like the Titans just feel like, and I guess where Derrick Henry came from.
Yep.
Like it just feels like Eddie George, or is it Chris Johnson who was there for a while?
Yes.
Like it just Linda feels White. Like their franchise is just like, that's a running franchise.
Yeah. Yeah, now Tony Pollard's there, and he's, you know, been the most efficient in breaking tackles.
Do you think we could have used that here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we could.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Defense first. Defense first.
The Steelers.
Okay, Steelers are the first team that comes to mind. Absolutely.
Well, in a way, you just talked about it. It's just his team right now, but it feels like that's Harbaugh's philosophy in L.A. Or
good job, Mike.
When he's with San Francisco or whatever.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, the Chargers were the third.
Quarterback who cares a lot about defense.
The Chargers were the third team I thought of in this situation.
Okay.
The second team was Denver. Because
that's a good answer too.
But then they just got blown out by the Ravens. They got blown out. But that doesn't mean that their defense hasn't been exceptional this season. But I do put them in that category. Defense first, Pittsburgh, Denver, and the Chargers. Y'all did a fantastic job there. Wide receiver heavy.
I think about this might not be fair. I immediately think about the Eagles just because they have top end receivers.
They do.
But that might not necessarily mean depth-wise as well.
Here's the last two, just so you can kind of... The last two are wide receiver heavy and well-balanced. And I think the Eagles are well-balanced.
Okay.
So wide receiver heavy and well-balanced are the last two. In the wide receiver heavy group, I have Cincinnati. I have Miami.
Yes, Miami.
Cincinnati and Miami are good answers.
The Packers.
I could see that.
The Packers defense has been really good this year, but I felt like it. And that being said, Josh Jacobs has been very good for this team this year. But I do feel like it's Jordan Love. Like it is focused around them. The Seahawks, it's actually more interesting looking at their numbers and how they lead the league in yards, passing yards. Like that is the Seahawks have become.
Yeah.
And even with DK Metcalf out, you just saw what happened with Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yes. He's played phenomenally.
And then I kind of threw the Buccaneers in there, but I was like, oh yeah, they lost all their wide receivers. But even still, they were relying on Baker Mayfield a lot in that game. Him and Sterling Shepard at the end of the game, it was all about those two and that combination. So that's where and then whenever we go to well-balanced, I put San Francisco in the well-balanced because they can run the ball, they can throw the ball, they play great defense. So I feel like they're an all-around team. I also didn't put Detroit in the they just run the damn ball group because I feel they're well-balanced.
I agree with that.
The Falcons I also kind of have in the well-balanced category. I don't think their defense stands up.
No, I think they are in the well-balanced category. I also think I don't think they should be. You know, like I think their goal should be to not be in the well-balanced category. But then again, maybe Kirk Cousins is just playing better than anticipated, and they're like, we'd be foolish to get away from this.
Yeah. And then the Eagles I have there and Washington. Now, Washington's interesting because they're developing their identity right now. That you don't have anything you can really just say, yeah, that's what they are. They're Jaden Daniels. But they also have a group of running backs that are leading the league in rushing. Like they're second, I think, in rushing as a team. They have a defense that is doing. They just added Marshon Lattimore because they knew we have a hole here we need to fix, and that's not completely fixed on their secondary. It's not completely done, but that's a huge move in the right direction for that team. So whenever we went through those names, Do you agree kind of with the San Francisco Detroit?
I do.
Okay. They're the well-balanced team. What do you want to be? With the Cowboys, whenever you're thinking about what you want, because this is a chance to you're gonna not rehire your coach, probably.
I agree.
You're gonna finish this season out, probably not rehire him, probably move on from some of the running backs, probably look at some of the other contracts on this team and say, do I really want to bring Mozzie back?
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do I really want to bring Terrence Steele? Do I want to continue forward with this as I'm trying to build the new part of my team? And what helps me get to the identity that I really want to be?
So,
and for Cowboys fans out there, what kind of football do you want to watch?
I feel like a lot of people will say, and this is what jumped into my mind immediately, I want to be the team that just wins, like just figures out a way to win. Because I felt that way in 2014 and then 2016, and it didn't end up making a difference in terms of moving on. Like, we've talked about this. There was a couple of game stretch. I think it's Green Bay and Pittsburgh in 2016 where you're just like, this team's going to figure it out. Like, if there's any time left on the clock and we get the ball, the Cowboys are going to figure out a way to win it. So I like that, but we've had that team and they didn't win at all.
Right. Yeah.
I know you gave a lot of categories, but
yeah,
I would
say, I can rerun them if you want me to.
No, I'd say like my category is what you'd love to have is we got the guy. So I feel like when you're talking about Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson's a different type of guy, but I think that the Ravens, they're hoping to have that confidence in the playoffs. They see in the regular season how we have the guy who's going to get us 12-plus wins every year. I would love to say, no matter what you have on the team, we have the guy.
So I did all this work to create all these different categories, aww, Mike, and then you created a whole new category.
Well, I'd like to say the just win. That sounds fun.
There you go.
The winning Mike, thing
thanks
sounds
for participating.
Fun.
Now I know, Kevin. God, now I see what it's like.
It's frustrating.
That was awesome. I really appreciate that, Mike. Hey, I agree with you.
I want to say this,
but
thanks for complimenting me so much on me going a little bit off the rails, but getting back on track with you. You know, we're on the same cycle.
We can be on the same cycle and have different approaches.
Yeah.
We don't have to have the same beliefs and philosophies on everything, but we can still work together to make things work. Yeah.
I agree.
I don't know if
everyone's feeling that message today.
The Jets and Texans, a couple people started texting in about the Jets they think are wide receiver heavy. Devontae Adams, Garrett Wilson, man, has really taken the stage now as he and Aaron Rodgers. The Devontae Adams trade, I feel like, clicked something for Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
Because I think that Aaron Rodgers kept saying, I'm trying to get the best version of you. I'm trying to get the best version of you to come out. And I think whenever Devontae Adams got there, he was like, oh crap, I gotta get on the same page with this guy. But I agree with all the receivers they have in that bunch. And then I'm trying to figure out, because the team that we went into the season going, watch out for them, the Texans.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what category they fit in right now, because I guess I want to put them in well balanced because they have all the things.
I could see that.
They have a good running back in Joe Mixon. I don't think they're wide receiver heavy because all their receivers keep getting hurt. Like Diggs got hurt. Nico Collins
Nico
got
Collins
hurt.
Has been
Dell's
hurt.
There. So I'm trying to figure out, but I have a lot of, you know, the category Mike put there. I think everybody believes that CJ Stroud's the guy. Everybody like looks at him and they're like, that's the guy.
I think so.
So I am trying to, I want to be, I love what the Ravens are doing, but you have to kind of completely redo your team. But again, This is an opportunity. So whenever Jerry and Steven and Will sit back together, and it's going to come down to who their coach is, obviously, because their coach is going to kind of predicate what the vision of this team is going to be. If you go with a Ben Johnson, it's going to be a well-balanced offense. He wants to run the ball just as much as he wants to throw the ball, but you don't have the personnel to do that right now. Like that's the investment of your personnel has to be, we need two running backs.
Yeah.
And two good running backs that have different qualities that can be something really good. You know what? We're also going to need to make sure that our defense can stop people. And that's what the Lions are. So I would want to be mostly in that well-balanced bunch because I think it does give you that chance. And I think the Cowboys have been there for a while where it's been not just defense first, but well-balanced amongst Dak Prescott and his offense and what the defense do. I want to get back to that, but it's going to take some personnel changes.
The KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Rangers appear to have found their manager in waiting, so let's start trying to figure out other ways to get them back to the promised land. Next on The Fan.
Here comes Brown. And that ball was hit high and deep down the right field line. Tucker looking. It is gone! Inside the right field foul pole. An opposite field home run for Adolis Garcia. The home run streak stretches to four. The Rangers lead 4-1.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan.
How long was that commercial break?
Man,
for you personally,
if you were wondering, is Mike talking even through the audio up till the last second? The answer is yes.
Let's do it.
We talked earlier in the show about picking up Skip Schumacher as a senior advisor to the president of baseball operations, Chris Young. He's only 44, and we all feel like he is the manager in waiting.
I think so.
Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that maybe Bochy wants to stick around longer and he doesn't end up going somewhere else next year, but it feels like that. So I wanted to take a look at a couple of other things that either we or other folks think need to be fixed with this Rangers team. First, I'm going to throw out the World Series odds for next year. Probably won't surprise you to know the Dodgers are number one. What might surprise you, though, the Texas Rangers are ninth on that list at 22-1. And
it's not horrible.
No, not at all. That's actually a little bit better than I would have guessed. For a team, you're the fourth team in the American League. For a team that didn't make the playoffs this past year, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, and I think they have to look at it in who you have coming back, but then also being ninth is they look at it and go, hey, from what they understand, what we understand, and we're telling you what we've heard is, look, the spending is going to be very limited this offseason. They might have to move some pieces around to make sure that Eovaldi comes back and Tyler Yates comes back. But besides that, you're not really going to add. I'd love to add Anthony Santander. Perfect for this offense. Ain't happening. He's going to be making $25 to $30 million a year. They don't have that. As far as I understand, they don't.
Okay. Now, you've talked about this pitcher a lot, and I just wanted to throw out a note that I saw from Evan Grant. Roky Sasaki, the pitcher that apparently the Rangers covet, he's not 25 yet. So if he's posted in signs after January 15th, no team would have to pay more than its international bonus pool pot. For the Rangers, that's $6.26 million.
Okay.
And so, like, for the potential that he has, that would be an incredible steal. I could see why the posting would take place quicker, and they would be like, you have to get this done before then so we can negotiate a different deal.
Here's what I don't know. Can you just use all of that money and go, we're just not signing any other free, like we're not signing any Dominicans, Venezuelans.
I believe that is correct.
We are going to go a year without signing any, let's say, Latin Americans.
Yes.
Because we want him so bad. And I'm not saying that's a bad decision. It does limit you in your depth and development. But if you need to win this, and I do think the Rangers have him number one on the board for, he's not a free agent, but in that kind of category of he's available to all teams. I think that's their number one guy that wasn't on the Rangers last year.
Okay, then would number two, and he would fit into this first category, obviously, re-signing Nathan Eovaldi.
Yes.
What are the financial parameters that you feel good about? I say, I'm going to just throw this out there, 3 for $55 million.
Okay, I was going to say 2 for $40 million.
Okay. Do you accept both, either of those deals?
4 for $75 million.
I would get scared about a four-year deal, to be honest.
I would say no to that, probably.
I bet he'd say yes.
I'm
pretty sure. If we offer him 2 for $40 million, 3 for $55 million, or 4 for $75 million, I have a pretty good feeling he's taking your offer, Corey.
Yes.
Yep, I win.
I would also.
These suckers don't have a pitcher now.
Okay, but.
Even if we upped our offer by $1 million, we probably still lose.
Would you be in on 3 for $55?
Yeah. I actually like Mike's deal more.
Oh, I do too.
Okay, yes.
I'm just saying, if he's looking for a three-year deal, yeah, are you willing to make that jump from 2 for $40 to 3 for $55? Which I realize is a lower annual value, but you do eat that third year.
Look, he's a great pitcher whenever it's big time.
Yeah.
So, and if I plan on being in those big situations, I want that guy on the mound.
And so, if I have to go to a third year, if I'm looking at it and maybe I'm assuming, this might be a wrong assumption, I'm not going to get anything out of the third year. If I have to, it makes it difficult, but spreading it to a third year might help. I'd have to look at my finances. This is where, obviously, you sit down with kind of your budget guys.
Yes.
Hey, can you give me an idea? And I don't know if Chris Young gets this or not. Can you give me an idea what my budget would be in 2027?
Yeah.
Because this would give me a better idea on what I want to go with lengthwise on a Nathan Eovaldi, or if there was another free agent that they needed to go in on a 3 or 4 year deal, it gives you a better idea of what my budget could be. I get it could change, but are we going to be a spender above the tax in 2026 or 27? If you're saying, I believe we can be a spender at this level, then it gives me a better idea on how to spend my money and the future money.
Now, we didn't get a chance to bring this up at the beginning of the week. Again, this is something that Evan Grant threw out as a potential idea. What about trading Marcus Semien? Now, I know there's a lot to unpack here, but one of the reasons I wanted to throw that out there is we have talked a lot about, Corey looks very concerned, we've talked a lot about the financial flexibility that this team has. You're paying for premium years right now, and it kind of feels like maybe you're not going to get them anymore. I could be off about that, but they've already discussed wanting to move him off of leadoff and give him more days off. So, clearly they feel comfortable with, scaling it down a little bit. What do you think about the concept, I guess, of trading Marcus Semien?
Mike, you're around it. Do all the guys in that clubhouse just adore Marcus Semien?
Yeah, this answer for me is absolutely no if you're around the team.
Okay.
Right. I'm not saying Evan Grant didn't put out a quality article.
By the way, he said, I think 8 or 10% he thinks that will happen.
And so I would just look at it, and just watching this morning, Skip Schumacher talk about culture and what you want around. Corey Seager is only a leader with how he plays, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Marcus Semien is more of a leader being on the field, doing the early work, working double plays with Ezekiel Duran and Josh Smith if they need a little bit of extra work. Nothing against Corey Seager. And if you go early, you'd see this. Corey's not out there doing a lot of the teamwork.
Yeah.
He has his own individual plan to get him ready for the 7 o'clock game. And the Rangers are fine with that. They know what Corey needs to do, what he believes he needs to do to be the best player for the Texas Rangers at 7 p.m. first pitch.
And Boach had Barry Bonds. He knew how to handle that guy.
But Marcus Semien is your veteran leader by far. It's not close for the position players. Eovaldi's your leader from your veteran pitching standpoint. So I think that those two guys are very valuable to have. And I do think Marcus Semien, I think he would tell you he had a down year or a bad year. I don't know what word he would use. I don't think he's going to have that bad or down of a year this upcoming season. And I do think I would put Wyatt Langford as my leadoff hitter. That's what I would do. And I'd have Corey Seager batting second. And then I have to make a decision. Where does Marcus Semien now fit in my lineup? Third, fourth, fifth, or sixth. That's where I would have him hitting. I don't know which one. It also is determined on how well is Evan Carter doing? Is the matchup right? I can't have Evan Carter batting third. I do not want a left-handed pitcher coming in late in the game when the game's on the line and I have Corey Seager and Evan Carter batting back-to-back. That makes zero sense. So I have to worry about where Evan Carter bats around my other left-handed hitters. Marcus Semien, do you feel like he still has enough power, pop, RBI capabilities to bat third in your lineup? Do you feel like Josh Young, without playing much, can take a step into batting third for you? I don't know.
Do you assume that Robertson and Chafin are definitely, definitely gone. So Robertson turned down his option, and then the Rangers turned down Chafin's option for next year.
I'm pretty sure Chafin, they'll move on from him. He just didn't work out here. He just, true. You know, sometimes pitchers can be hot and cold as bullpen guys. He was cold here. So I think they're going to move on from Chafin. I think Robertson, they have interest in. I just don't know if he's going to play baseball anymore.
Oh, I didn't know that. I had not heard that.
I think that there's a possibility of him just retiring.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know the answer. I think that Chafin they're going to move on from, I believe. I could be wrong. And then I think Robertson they'd have interest in, but then I don't know if he's even going to play baseball next year.
Yeah, when it comes to bullpens, like they're a moving door, you know, a revolving door.
Yes.
It just seems like you're constantly... If they had a good year, man, congratulations. You got them on a good year. The next year, who knows if they'll ever be able to rematch that. And you want...
That is very
you
true.
Want to be able to say, look, I got Jeff Nelson and Mariano Rivera in the bullpen for the next 3 years. You don't know if that's going to happen. So I feel like they just got to keep working that.
So one of the things that Jim Bowden threw out there, because he's making some predictions for some of these teams offseason... 3 years, $33 million for Carlos Estevez, and the Rangers will make that signing. He was with the Angels, and then obviously he also played for Philadelphia.
Charlie Sheen's brother.
I don't know that to be the case, but that is a good call. 26 saves last year, ERA about 2.5-ish.
Sounds like a great sign.
Yeah.
If you can. I don't know if the Rangers have the budget to sign a $11 million free agent relief pitcher.
Yeah.
They might have to make some moves here and there to open this up that money.
That is actually going to lead me into my next question. All right. So kind of think of this as an either or. Now, so that's about $11 million per year. The numbers aren't exactly the same, but they're pretty close. Adolis is at $9.25 million next year. Nate Lowe could be around $9-10 million arbitration-ish. I say you can swap in Estevez for one of those players. I realize it doesn't work exactly like that, but would you want to do that? And if so, who are you moving on from?
No to Garcia. I get what year he had. How am I supposed to replace his bad year was 25 home runs and 80-something RBIs?
Something like that, yeah.
Can I replace that for $9 million? Even on that year, like I'm expecting him not to have that rough of a year that he had. I know his batting average was way down. But I need 25 homers and 80 RBIs, somebody to bat in the middle of the lineup. He's flawed. He's not perfect.
He's a gamer.
But if he was a free agent, I think that he would get $15 million.
Okay.
Even based off of having a down year, I think he would be looking at like a 3-year, $45 million contract on the open market.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but does it not seem like at least some Rangers fans like Mitch Moreland in the past have been trying to get away from Nate Lowe for a couple of years?
And he's not terrible. He's not bad.
No, not at all.
He's good. The position itself is down.
Very.
And so trying to figure out how to get an advantage at that position is kind of what you're looking for. And I think Rangers fans, we've been very lucky at first base a lot of times where we've had some pretty, you know, standout first baseman in the history of this. Even Lee Stevens stands out as one of those of like, good God, he was awesome for that year. So I guess I see what you're saying, Kevin, but I don't know, man. If he can hit a fastball, I'd love to have Nate Lowe back.
I guess the thing is, you already know the number Adolis is going to make.
Correct.
You don't know in arbitration what Lowe's going to get. The issue is he does have a silver slug. He does have a gold glove.
That's why I think it'll be 10-ish.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, you obviously could trade him. It was a very little sample size. I don't think Justin Foscue did anything close to enough to feel comfortable moving him to first base and saying, well, I'm going to get production out of that position. The Rangers, I remember mentioning this to you. I forgot the numbers because it's right after the season. They had the worst DH spot in all of baseball.
Yeah.
They literally were like, if you didn't have a DH and you had the Atlanta Braves pitching staff in 96, they did about the same offensively as a Colorado Rockies pitching staff would have done. A decent hitting pitching staff would have matched what you got from DH. First base, You got pretty good numbers when Nate Lowe was healthy, and they're not great, but if you compare him to the rest of the American League first baseman, he finished kind of top five in a lot of categories.
Yeah.
So he had maybe the fifth best offensive first baseman in the American League, and if there's 15 of them, it's tough to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Then how are you supposed to improve? There's nobody in the minor leagues. The kid Ortiz, I'm forgetting his first name.
Is it Abby?
Yeah, and that's what he goes by. He did not have a good year in Frisco. He didn't look like he was ready at all to compete at a major league level. So that's the interesting part of the budget and everything. All right, let me let go of Nate Lowe or however, and that opens up $10 million. All right, are you okay with having a 190 first baseman that has 8 home runs on the year?
That's why we ask these questions. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here.
Kevin asked all on the baseball questions.
105.3 The Fan.
You put it on me. That was a lot to take on,
uh-huh.
But I was able to handle it.
Nice. He carried that load.
For you.
Coming up next, it's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Hey, we are rolling. How are you?
Awesome. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you very much for asking. I know a lot of people were focusing on United States politics yesterday, but the college football playoff first ranking also came out. Was there anything in there that you caught that caught you off guard or you thought was interesting, or are you like, hey, that's great, I'll check back in like a month?
We were delivering live coverage of that last night in the 620, yes! Along with election insights from Brian Broaddus, our official insider on all things. But you know, the first thing that jumped out to me once it was all out there was just, you know, and I said it on the air last night, I don't like the 12-team format because I think it's going to be really difficult to differentiate how good 2-3-4 is from 5-6 and the bye there.
Okay.
It's just, I don't like it.
Do you like the, and that totally makes sense to me, the one thing I do like about those first round games is they'll be on a campus. Like, it won't be just this nondescript soulless bowl game by itself. It'll still be on a higher seeds campus. I think that's fun.
Yeah, I like that, you know, especially because you're going to get guaranteed attendance there. It'll be a great environment.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Help the schools a little bit, too, with some money. Yeah, I think that, to me, I'm fascinated because I don't think, for being the first one, it kind of gives you a little, like, idea of how this thing might be set up.
Yeah.
I think we're so far away from this. I think there's so many more, potentially, some upsets along the way.
For
and
sure.
I told my guys last night that I kind of felt like that some of those teams that might have buys, like a BYU or Miami,
Miami,
of a sudden, that I think those teams might be ones that get defeated in the next round if you had to pick it the way I think it might be.
But you're hoping that Miami not only doesn't get a bye, but maybe doesn't get in,
maybe
because
it's
mighty SMU takes them down.
That
right?
was my biggest takeaway. SMU right now, first team out, but they very likely, they control their own destiny, probably match up with Miami in the ACC title game. And Miami's been, I mean, on the cusp of losing, it seems like, every week.
Their quarterback is amazing, though.
Cam Ward Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah. It's been fantastic this year. But I loved it. I mean, just seeing this thing be unveiled and now some of the matchups like Texas and Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that we're probably not going to get any of these matchups because this is all going to change, just like Brian said.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a lot of fun just seeing how this, now the 12 team bracket, unfold for the first time and all the different possibilities. And I mean, you got a lot of things that are going to play out. Texas and Texas A&M, that matchup is big. Georgia and Ole Miss is a big matchup. Like, it's still, to me, they're able to still keep the meaningfulness of the regular season, which that was my big concern. Does this now get lost because you can drop maybe 2 games and still get in? I think you're still seeing it play out where these games still matter a lot.
Peggy, the South Carolina loss was bad for Texas A&M.
So bad.
But do you think A&M recovers?
The thing is, I think they do recover, but I don't necessarily think that means they're good enough to beat Texas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I think they'll be good. And see, I've already, you know, if you're going to your sports gods,
especially
or whatever,
with the injury of the running back.
Exactly.
Spot.
Yeah. He's going to be out for the rest of the year. If you're going to your sports gods, I would trade the beat down at the hands of South Carolina for a victory over Texas 1,000,000 times. But I think they're going to end up missing out because they are going to lose that Texas game, which will bump them out of the SEC championship, bump them out of the top 12.
It's crazy how, and South Carolina is not an easier place.
No, not at all.
Columbia.
Not at all.
I just felt like Reed, I didn't feel like that against LSU. He was just like, man, why are you not playing? You know, the wins at Missouri, the wins against Missouri, yeah, the Florida. And he just, it didn't seem like it was all together for him in that game.
Yeah, that was a very concerning because I thought not only is A&M like the last undefeated in-conference right team, but also you got your quarterback. And now you look at this and you're like, yeah, I don't even know why our quarterback looked like he regressed in that game. Then yeah, you lost your starting running back. And now I know they still control their own destiny to get to the SEC championship game, but now you have to win that Texas game, yeah, or else y'all see you in the Belk Bowl or yeah, whatever the hell yeah bowl it's going to be.
Kevin, I appreciate you talking about SMU.
Yes.
Don't forget about how great TCU is as a college and a program.
There's
school,
a couple man TCU fans that are in your head, man.
I just want to make sure I balance it out here in DFW, you know? Don't forget about Denton.
TCU fans, yeah, you go get it. Green. Just deal with it, okay? SMU's way better than you this year. They beat you by a zillion points. Your team's not very good at football this year. Maybe it will be next year or the year after. Good luck, because you're going to have to raise a lot more money, and SMU has proven in the 80s they will raise a lot of money for this program.
This is their highest ranking since 85.
Yeah.
Which, like, I instantly just picture gold Camaros. Like,
around, my dad was involved.
Yeah,
with that,
exactly.
I always loved that story.
Around that time. So it's been a fun season thus far. I'm curious to see how it goes.
They got a good team over there, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
they had.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, the BYU game, I mean, I think if you play them now, it might be a little bit different story.
That fumble.
But doesn't that oddly look like a really good loss now? You're like, hey, BYU gets a bye. Well, we lost by 3 points.
That's true. In a way, it does help you there. And Nick Saban called Kevin Jennings maybe the most underrated player in all of college football.
You love
dude's having an awesome season. Yeah. When you talk about a potential collision course with Miami, that quarterback duel there between Ward and Jennings,
it's going to be
that
awesome.
Would be a fireworks show.
How much have you enjoyed seeing Saban on game day? Because I know some people were concerned that, and at times he can be a little stiff, but he is definitely having fun.
He fits with that
on
him,
that show.
It's him and McAfee. They're
having
dynamic
the best
together.
Time.
McAfee has brought out kind of the humor and the lightheartedness of Saban.
He's feeding Saban. He's like taking T-bone steaks and like putting it in his mouth.
I guarantee you that Saban's wife, Miss Terry, is probably telling him, like, listen, whatever you're doing with Pat, keep doing.
You think he's more fun at home too now?
Yeah, he's like, oh, you think? You know, he's probably asking her, like, does it look embarrassing, the fact that he's putting a tomahawk chop in my face and I'm gnawing down on it or something like that? But no, I think that he's embracing the fun side of college athletics from a media standpoint.
He's got a bit of a sexy streak, you know, and Miss Terry's starting to finally see that.
Oh.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. So she was attracted to the national championships. Now she's like,
the power.
The statues out in front of
personality going here.
Bryant Denny Stadium, yeah.
I like your swag.
She liked the power at first.
Pat, feed him again. Pat, feed him again.
Give him that meat.
What?
He said a steak earlier, right?
It was a T-bone. Yeah, it looked, I mean,
tomahawk.
Seared beautifully. It was a nice medium rare.
So
I think there's some balls.
I'm like
too.
McAfee, and you're like Coach Saban.
Is that right?
And how would I be?
Mike feed you all the time.
Does that mean we're destined to have to work together forever?
Maybe so. Because we'll what McAfee has done to Saban is he's taken a load off of Saban.
There he is. He has taken that load.
He's relaxing.
Have you guys heard his ridiculous Mike likes it, take a load off Saban?
It usually hits me. Honestly, Mike, you usually time it up so beautifully when I was at that breaking point of needing a load off.
I know.
And then you come swooping in like you're like a superhero in that way.
And people
super
give it 10 out of 10s. One guy gave it a 69 out of 10.
6.9.
Like, no, he didn't point it.
Okay. Let's get question 24 again.
No, you can do that off air after I've left the room.
But it's so
what
great.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
First of all, how could you miss it on a Friday with the Buffalo Wild Wings live audience?
Yes.
Seriously.
I think they're feeding off of each other.
I am conflicted now about telling people to go out to the Fort Worth spot on Hewlett.
You guys got a rowdy crowd to go out to.
Yeah, because they keep cheering for Mike. And I'm like, baby,
stay
at home.
I don't take a load off of you, Kevin, every day. But I feel like on Fridays you need one, and after last night you stayed up till 2 a.m., you're a little bit irritated.
Not because of that, because of you!
And I felt like today we needed to laugh, and we needed to relax,
uh-huh,
and
take a load off.
On a hump day.
I love it. I love it. What's coming up on the show today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Nice. Bobby Carella at 4.
All right. Roll home with G-Bag Nation.
The defense should be solid tonight.
We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Take a load off.
I will not say that.
Hopefully, I've taken your load off if you're listening.
Please don't say it like that.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.